Millions of words of copy from the annals of mankind would agree with the Thessalonians of the first century that the wrong side is usually up. Front pages are filled with bad news and alarm. This text, in all simplicity, says everything the Christian message presents, a complete turnaround, until the message of Jesus grips your being, mister, you are living upside down. Now, it's a message worth carrying. The believers thought so. They were spiritual revolutionaries. This passage in Acts marks seven characteristics about the first century evangelists. First, they placed themselves absolutely at the discretion of their master to be used by him wherever and in whatever way he chose. It was a marriage, and forsaking all other, cling only to him. It must be for better or for worse. In sickness or in health, in riches or in poverty, it will not work without total commitment, but with such commitment, it will work anywhere, anytime. The San Jose, California Mercury carried a story of a cat within recent weeks. The cat evidently traveled 450 miles in 53 days from a freeway rest stop near Medford, Oregon, where the cat became separated from the Robert Martin family, to Sunnyvale, California, where the cat rejoined the Martin household. The Mercury reported, and I quote, "Even more mystifying is the fact that the Martins were moving from a Seattle suburb, and the canny critter and family had never been in this part of California before. The family had hunted for the cat for 3 hours before regretfully driving on to California. Now, I still believe that heaven can put into humans even more than is found in animals. That cat was committed to one family. Philip left a citywide revival at Samaria to follow orders and find the African official at a highway junction. It took unquestioning obedience. Most evangelists like to set up their own meetings. It isn't the common sense thing to do to leave crowds and publicity in response. But the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Ananias, the Damascus pastor, moved toward a known killer at the command of the master. He knew Saul's business in the Syrian capital. He himself was the chief target of those warrants. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias went his way. It takes that zeal to challenge an entrenched world system. You cannot have revolution without revolutionaries, and you cannot have revival without revivalists. The question is asked, and it is an important question. How may I know to whom the Lord would have me witness? Now that is his decision, and it must be transmitted to the believer. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Second, they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is more than a doctrine, mister. The Holy Spirit is a person, the vicar of Christ's will on earth. The business of the Holy Spirit is to present Christ. Count on that. He has never discovered speaking of himself. It doesn't take much reading to learn what he produced in the new convert Saul of Tarsus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. That directive continued on Paul until Paul's homegoing. Wherever there is genuine charismatic action, there will be a passion for soul winning. Paul was a soul winner in prison. Paul was a soul winner in government. Paul was a soul winner in the synagogues. Paul was a soul winner in the shopping center. It was his life's work. He did not change his pursuit for society, for locality, for circumstances. He believed everyone should meet Jesus. Third, they went to others instead of others coming to them. They created the action, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. That was the big word with Jesus. Go ye. He gave us the go sign. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Too many millions are being spent on church real estate rather than on church responsibility. We'll never turn the world right side up by building costly edifices and announcing that the evangelistic service is at 7:30 Sunday evening, which seems to imply that it is at this hour only that souls can be saved. Jesus went about doing good. If that program pleased God, and it did, for God was with him, why won't it satisfy the same God if we do it? When a person seriously wants to help another human being, it doesn't take long to make contact. And fourth, they found a ground of common interest with those they wished to win. Paul reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And I have found, to my delightful surprise, that the man on the street and the neighbor next door want to know what is in the Bible. Very aggressive movements, steadily gaining adherents, are based on coming to terms with that fact. The public has an awe and a respect and a curiosity for the book. They remember it is used in court and that the president takes his oath of office with his hand on it. Now, there are four good rules for evangelism. A, really care about the person you would win. Flirting with a soul is a crime. There's down-to-earth truth in the old saying, love me, love my dog. Be interested in the other person's livelihood, family, views. You come not to be ministered unto, but to minister. The raw material of building a community for Christ in any town is, I care about you. Without that attitude, you're only a performer. B, find quickly something you can commend. If you pat a dog, his tail will wag. Everyone has some asset. Don't flatter. Stay with the facts. Remember, criticism produces antagonism. C, ask a favor. Christ did it again and again. A drink, a boat, a donkey, a basket lunch, a guest chamber. It always appeals to the best in a person. I've found this to be a delightful method in overseas travel. Sir, you have a great nation, and I would like to learn as much about it as I possibly can, and I would be forever grateful to you were you to advise me and share your country with me. That gets the job done. And D, quickly reciprocate. Match kindness with kindness. Appreciation is always a door opener. If the person is in difficulty, find some way to help him or her. You have to make a friend before you can win a soul. And fifth, they used the Word of God. It alone is the hammer and the fire. It can break, it can melt. You can't sell Jesus or put the gospel over. It isn't a clever assembly line technique. We're told how Paul used the scriptures in Acts 17, verses 2 and 3. A, he reasoned with them. He did it out of the scriptures. That is not a sales pitch. It isn't an argument. It is thus saith the Lord. And B, he used the expository method, opening. That is exciting. You see the plot and the plan and the word. The weight of the evidence closes in on you. Conviction precedes conversion. See, he built a case, alleging, slowly, competently, skillfully. He closed every avenue of escape. Any other conclusion than the one great conviction of his soul, that Jesus of Nazareth is God's complete answer. And D, he rested his presentation on the supreme evidence. Christ's death and resurrection. Preach the word. It will do the work. Sixth, they had the grace of perseverance. Paul went back to the synagogue 3 Sabbath days. Capturing men alive is not easy, but it is thrilling. And nothing in the Christian life equals the joy it produces. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Faint heart never won, fair lady, and a quitter will never be a soul winner. Paul knew it in his own life. Jesus had stayed with him. It had been hard to kick against the pricks. Seventh, they had not yielded to discouragement. Soul winning like healing is baffling. We're told in this chapter, Acts 17, that some of them believed. You would like to succeed every time. No doctor likes to lose a case. And the first patient who dies is an unforgettable experience. I cannot control the soil. My business is to sow the seed. Here is the testimony of a great evangelist. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now you can't do better than that. You report on the other side, where you must gather with the fishermen of the ages, will be some, one, or none. And I would hate to head into port empty-handed. Can anyone look back to you, sir, and say of your effort toward him or her, that is the man who turned me right side up? Until he touched my life, I had everything wrong side up. Now I want to pray with you in this service. Show me thy way, Lord Jesus. Teach me thy will, Lord Jesus. And in thy strength, Lord Jesus, thy witness, I will be. Now this is the moment we've been reserving should Christ tarry for the most powerful fellowship on earth. The long, long altar, it's here. And there's room for you in the next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you. For you.
Ruth Reagans, Buena Vista, Colorado, a pastor's wife, is a regular at this altar. She says, Brother Ward, I kneel with you. I offer myself to Jesus for a concern toward every struggling member of mankind filling the long, long altar. Time after time, these moments with you are hallowed in the nearness of Jesus to me. I experience something. Suddenly the weariness is gone. It is replaced by singing. And thus I know that the risen and ministering Christ has visited the long, long altar and deliverance has been posted around the world. I'm a busy housewife and mother with children ranging in age from 9 years to 21 months, four of them. But for me, this time of fellowship has proven to be a tremendous blessing. Now this gives you a little idea of the full force of prayer at the long, long altar. Jesus, thousands with me make this open confession. Thou art the only begotten Son of God. We believe it, with the destiny of our souls linked to it. We request the same pattern as recorded in the book of Acts, the Lord working with them. We want the Lord working with us. In thy name we rebuke the foul spirits of alcoholism and narcotics and thieving and hatred. I ask for these troubled lives to be redeemed. Encourage the thousands who are stirring in the church world. It is thy spirit who is awakening them from the slumber of form, tradition, and imposed fear. We thank thee for that renewal. Bless us to our communities and our better service as born again and spirit-endued citizens. Amen. Prayer will change you, and then you will change things. The altar is bright with blessing in this service, and I sense a heavenly glow. And now, as the Holy Spirit directs, I will minister through the vehicle provided the believer, and least to him or to her, from another world, a gift or gifts of the Spirit. And so I come to you, dear lonely heart, in the name and by the authority of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm speaking to a splendid, talented, upright young woman who longs to be married and enjoy husband, family, and home of her own. You've been so discouraged. The only prospects have been men of the world whom you reject. Jesus is conscious of your need and is doing something about it. He has ordered heaven's resources to be turned towards you, and something wonderful and joyous and completely satisfying will happen. It is more than you could ask or imagine, because that is the way Jesus responds. So please thank him with steadfast heart and nothing doubting. I am his servant in ministry to you. Now this has been the meeting. Yes, it's old-fashioned and Christ-centered, and we're happy to have it so. There's no grandeur directed toward man or his flesh. The meeting emphasizes the risen Christ. We gather toward him that in all things he should have the preeminence. We're so thrilled you gathered with us. We wouldn't want it otherwise. The meeting is a prelude to the meeting in the air. And the power that makes us rise together is the great working principle, that it is not by might nor by any human effort, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.